Titus 2, 11-14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives. Wow. Where is that taught today? Wow. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness, to purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. Wow. I want to talk today about the blessed hope. Why is it called the blessed hope? We live in an age in which many people who claim to be part of the church, who claim to be God's possession, who claim to be born again, who make all kinds of weird claims, have no desire whatsoever for the return of Christ. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. But the Bible says it is the blessed hope. Why is it the blessed hope? It's not just that the Bible says it's the blessed hope. Look at what else the Bible says about this. Look at 2 Timothy 2:8. I'm sure you know the verse. 2 Timothy 2:8. Paul, speaking of the end of his own life, says, "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for His appearance." I remember 40 years ago, there was a general longing for Christ's appearing. You talk to people that went to Bible teaching churches, and man, they were talking about Jesus coming all the time. Don't hear much of that anymore. The Bible says God rewards those who long for His appearing. Look with me at Philippians 3. Philippians 3. Philippians 3, let's start at verse 18. Philippians 3, 18. For, as I have often told you before, and now say again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. What a description. Glad we don't have any people like that around today, huh? But our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Oh, we eagerly await. I can remember those days gone by when people would greet each other by saying, maybe today, maybe today. Eagerly await. I want to talk today about five reasons why it is the blessed hope. Five reasons why it is the blessed hope. First of all, because on that day the scales will be balanced. It is the blessed hope because the scales will be balanced. We live in a day in which injustice is epidemic. And we live in one of the more just places on earth. We have brothers and sisters who are suffering terribly. We talk about the injustice of our government that is becoming more and more corrupted. But we have brothers and sisters that would look at us and say, "You're nuts." We look at these insane, unjust court rulings, and we have brothers and sisters around the world that would say, what do you expect? But there is coming a day when there will be justice. Well, look with me at Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Jesus is writing to the church of Philadelphia. I would hope to be part of the church of Philadelphia in these fallen days as more and more of the church becomes exactly the description. I can remember wild-eyed preachers 40 years ago when I got saved talking about the church of Laodicea and the cold church and applying that to their day. And boy, I look today and I go, they were absolutely right. It wasn't then, but boy, it's now. If they could have seen what's going on today, they'd know what they were talking about. But the Church of Philadelphia, it says, verse 8, Revelation 3:8, "I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews though they are not, but are liars." You know, there's a lot of people out there that claim to be representing God today, claim to be on the end. Said, "I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you." Today, those who name Jesus' name are called haters, or closed-minded. I love the fellow that led me to Christ used to say, "Watch out when you get too open-minded, it might fall out." Narrow-minded, bigots, haters, homophobes. But on that day, Jesus says, "I will show who loved me and who didn't." And you know, we look at the court system today and we see the injustice. We see how often in every area people just lie and get away with it. There's coming a day when the scales will be balanced. You see, have you wondered why there's so much violence in our society today? It's because we have trained a generation of people who think they've got to have it today because they're never going to get it in the future. So they scream and they yell and they burn down their buildings on campus and they march in the street and attack people because shouting that they don't deserve to be heard. And somebody says, why isn't it that Christians don't do that? Why is it that Hollywood is afraid to put out movies with Muslims as evil, wicked, corrupt people? Oh, but you can make a Christian the villain any day of the week and nobody will lift a finger. Because you see, we don't get even. What did Jesus say? Look with me at Romans 12. Paul, talking about what Jesus taught of turn the other cheek, Paul puts it into practice, and here's what he says. Look at Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 18. Oh, let's start at 17. Romans 12, 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Now, does that mean that we are man-pleasers and we do what other people want us to do? No, we do the things that everyone knows is right. There are some things that everybody knows are right. Do them. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, it's not always possible to live at peace, is it? How many people, you know, that old lie that parents tell their kids, never tell your kids, never tell your grandkids there, it takes two to fight. Does it take two to fight? No, it does not. If you don't believe me, you try to not fight, and I'll show you how impossible it is. That's why the Bible says if it's possible, as much as it lies in your power, live at peace with all men. There are times when conflict comes, but you're not to be the person. I'm not to be the person that's the cause of it. And then he gets real specific. He says, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. You see, ultimately, we don't have to balance the scale. God will. Every time you or I get angry and we want to show them, oh, we can show them. But it's nothing like God can show them. See, when Jesus comes, the scales will be balanced. Number two, we've already looked at it, but let's look at it again. Philippians chapter 3, verse 21. Philippians 3, verse 21. When I first read these words 40 years ago, they didn't mean a lot to me. Some of you young folks here, these words don't mean an awful lot to you. When you're 21 or 22 or 19, these don't mean much. The older I get, the more I was meeting up with a bunch of friends I got together with, got to see a bunch of people while I was up home, and everybody's got the same story. Oh! But notice what it says, Philippians 3:21, who by the power, and we eagerly await the Savior from there, the Lord Jesus, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Man, I'm looking forward to having a new body. How about you? You know, at 19, that didn't mean a lot, right? But the older you get, the more that means an awful lot. Somebody asked, how's my mom doing? And for 88, she's doing wonderfully. She's getting around really well. She figured out she can go better with a cane than without it, so she has a cane with her now. Which means it sits in the car and she doesn't. But she has it. Oh. Man, I'm looking forward to a new body. I hear these people saying about how they need all these things to get rid of the pain. And, you know, I don't know how it is to be other people, but boy, I don't know what it is to be my age and not have pain. I'm looking forward to a new body. Number three, no more sorrow. We've come through a pretty sorrowing couple of weeks, haven't we? I went up home and one of the first things we did was drive over and see the gravesite of my cousin who I couldn't go to his funeral. Oh, it was great to hear though, because growing up he was a godless young man. When I first got saved, didn't want to hear the gospel at all. I remember going over and sharing the gospel with him and having him slam the door in my face. Tell me to get lost. Oh, but wow. God's still saving people. My mother went and took some of the other family members, and at the funeral, person after person got up from his church and talked about what a difference he'd made in their lives. No more sorrow. Look with me at Revelation 7. Look with me at Revelation 7. Revelation 7. Look at verse 16, Revelation 7, 16. Never again. What words? Never. We use that so often. Oh, I'll never do. We use the word. We don't understand what never is. I've gotten so I try to do this with myself, and I've started to do it with other people, and people look at me like I'm really weird. They say, well, never. You know, I'm never this, or that's never going to happen. I go, wait a minute. Whoa. What do you mean that's never going to happen? Never is an awful long time. Well, it's not going to happen. I said, what, in this life? Before you die? Well, yeah. Okay, well, that's not never. Never again will there be hunger. Never again will there be thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd and will lead them in the springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Awful lot of tears these days, isn't there? Look at Revelation 21:4. Revelation 21:4. He, God, Revelation 21:4, He, God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I could probably stop there, but I want to do one more. Look back with me at Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25. Maybe you've never seen this verse, or maybe if you're one of those, and we have a number here, who've read through the Bible on multiple occasions. One of the things when you read through the whole Bible is there's so much there that things don't stand out, and you go back and you go, well, I know I've read this because I read all the way through, but it didn't make any impact on you. But I want to just highlight this. Isaiah 25, verse 8. 25:8. He will swallow up death forever. When God says forever, He means the real forever, not what we call forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces and will remove the disgrace from His people, from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in Him and He saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in Him. Let us rejoice and be glad in His salvation. Number four. No more death. Scales will be balanced, new bodies, no more sorrow, no more death. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Not just people won't die, there will be no more death. You know, physical death is just the end, isn't it? There's a lot of deaths before that. We were talking earlier in the prayer time about drugs. Drugs brings death. The Bible says the day that you sin, God said to Adam and Eve, the day you sin, you will surely die. How long did Adam and Eve live after that physically? 900 years, something like that. Was God a liar? Oh no, that day they died. They didn't die physically. They died spiritually. There's relational deaths. How many relationships die today? Things that should be the love and support, they die. Children. The relationship with their parents dies. Children abused and misused and abandoned. This person we were just hearing about in the prayer time. Both of the parents choosing to go off into a world of drugs on the street rather than be with their two children. Can you imagine growing up with that? That's death. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Look with me over at verse 54. 1 Corinthians 15:54. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death is swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? Is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? That day's coming. I guess people ask me, why do you focus so much on this thing with drugs today? Why is that such a big issue? For me, here it is, because drugs were, up until very recently, one of the signs that God was able to set people free. You know, why was it that God did miracles? Whether it was Jesus walking on water, or whether it was calming the storm, or whether it was multiplying the food, or whether it was healing the sick, or curing the blind, or raising the dead. Why was it that God did miracles? Why did the axe head float? If the guy was so careless that he lost his axe head. Why doesn't he just have to go out and buy a new one? God did miracles to show his power. In fact, John doesn't use the word miracles in his gospel. What's the word that he uses? Signs. Something that points to something else. This first sign, which Jesus did, it showed the world God's power over their situation. And one of the things that was true right through until very recently was that was one of the great ways that showed God's power because, you know, the world doesn't have any real cure for these addictions. The medical community wants to call them a disease, but their cure rate's pretty bad. Why don't they just use leeches? Because it would work just as well. My cousin, who just died, he and his wife, after the death of their son, formed a group to try to help to combat addiction. And they tried to get kids into programs, and they just didn't care, just as long as they got them in a program. And after about 10 years of doing this, after their son's death, they came to realize it didn't help to get them into the programs. That used to not be true with Christian programs. Oh yeah, there was always the one that walked away, but they were the rare exception. Today it's becoming the norm. Christians' programs used to gladly proclaim their success rate because it showed God's power to deliver from one of the most destructive scourges of our society. Try to find out their quote-unquote success rate today. But when Jesus comes, there'll be no more death. There'll be no more death. And last of all, number 5. And this for me is the best one. We'll be totally changed. I hate that I'm not totally changed. I hate that sin has a place in me. How about you? I never want to be, well, Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven. I want to be better than that. How about you? And that day is coming. Look with me at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. These are some of the most wonderful verses, I think, in the entire Bible. First John chapter 3, verse 1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. I love that translation. That just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it does not know Him. Dear friends, now we are the children of God. And what we will be has not been made known. If you think you know what heaven's about, if you've read one of these books and somebody's told you what heaven's, and you go, oh, we don't have a clue. My Bible says that when Paul actually went to heaven, he heard things that could not be spoken about. How come all these modern writers that claim to don't have anything they don't write about? Oh, they'll tell you everything. Paul said, "Nah, I wasn't even allowed to talk about it." How come the real thing, that's what happened, and in these other things, it's different than that? Maybe it makes you think, huh? But if you think you've got an idea of what heaven is, don't. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. What we will be has not yet been made known. I often say, you know, everybody has to go on these big vacations and spend thousands and thousands of dollars. I am so excited. I want to see the Grand Canyon. And I want to see it from the air. But when I do, I don't want to need a plane to do it. I just cannot think of anything more wonderful in the world than just flying through the Grand Canyon. Shh. Oh, anything that beautiful, God's going to remake. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. Whew. What a promise. I am looking forward to the day when I never have to struggle against another sin. One more verse, and then we're going to have communion, which is appropriate because the Bible says when we share this table, what do? We show the Lord's death until He comes. One more verse. Look with me over at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to give one more word, and this is the word that we need to hear today because, you know, in these days, the temptation is to give up. How many people do you know who have given up? Who are in the process of giving up? Who are the used-to-be? Here's what it says, and now, 1 John 2:28, and now, dear children, continue in Him. You ever want to do a study, just look up the word continue in the New Testament. Just look up the word continue your phone will give it, if nothing else will. Just look up the word continue in your phone. Don't even have to go out and buy a Strong's Concordance anymore. It's loaded. You can load it right into your phone. Remember when phones were just for talking to people? And now, dear children, continue in Him so that when He appears, we may be confident and unashamed before Him at His appearing. My hope, my goal, my desire for you is that you would be confident and unashamed when He comes. Let's bow together. Oh God, here we are. I didn't ever think that it would be that I'd be alive in 2017. I didn't think I'd be on this earth in 1984. I sometimes wondered if I was going to see 1980 or 1979 or 1977. I didn't even know whether I was going to graduate high school or not. Oh, this could be the day. Lord, it's been a lot longer than I thought it would be. But You say that You're waiting for that last Gentile to be saved. You are not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. Lord, Only your Holy Spirit can change our hearts in such a way that we truly long for your coming. Without the work of your Holy Spirit, no one ever wants you to come back again. Lord, work in us that we might long for your appearing. In Jesus' name, amen.